The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings. When your relapsing multiple sclerosis begins to change, how you treat it should change too. Think beyond relapses and choose a treatment that can help delay disability progression. Find out more at changesinrms.com.
My name is Jennifer Powell. I am a columnist with Multiple Sclerosis News Today. Today, I will be reading about how minority representation in MS research is still lacking, but there is hope. Although multiple sclerosis affects many different races and ethnicities, and may even be more aggressive in some of these patient populations, minority representation in MS clinical trials remains critically low. Black patients made up only a fraction of the total enrollment in large-scale phase 3 trials for 3 now-approved MS therapies, according to a recent editorial written in the journal CNS Spectrums. Specifically, blacks comprised just 5.3% of patients in the OPERA 1 and 2 studies investigating Ocrevus. The proportions of blacks in other trials were even lower. The EXPAND trial testing Mayzent had 0.6% blacks, while the RADIANCE trial for Zeposia involved 5%. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration's drug trial snapshot of Zeposia, approved in 2020, supports the CNS Spectrum's findings, indicating that the U.S. regulatory agency could not determine how the treatment would affect minority patients because there weren't enough people of that race enrolled. The lack of racial diversity in clinical trials is a huge issue across all medical disorders, but it's especially a roadblock for the MS community, given that people of color often have worse disease manifestation. Having little trial data can lead to the development of therapies that have unknown side effects or efficacy for these populations. The disease characteristics and manifestations of MS or NMO among blacks and Hispanics are typically aggressive, and this reason alone, if not for any other metric, needs to be a radical shift in allotment of funds devoted to prompting drug research in minority populations. For example, more data may be needed to collect on Mayzent and its metabolism in the presence of certain gene variants that are more prevalent in the Black Hispanic population. These variants were not included in the trials and therefore not studied. As a result, it is still unknown how Mayzent affects these patients. Improving the proportion of minorities represented in clinical trials is a challenge, but doctors, patients, and researchers alike say it is worth overcoming, and there is hope. Genentech, the maker of Ocrevus, launched a phase 4 trial called Characterization of Ocrevimab in Minorities with Multiple Sclerosis in 2020 to better understand how therapy, first approved in FDA in 2017, responds to blacks and Hispanic populations. We still have a long way to go, but things are definitely moving in the right direction, Mitzi Joy Williams, MD, lead investigator of the CHIMES trial, said in a Zoom interview with Multiple Sclerosis News Today. When Williams, the CEO and medical director of the Joy Life Wellness Group, which delivers MS care, put together her talk on MS in the African American population for Black History Month in March, she said it could fit research on that particular group in one 3-ring binder. If the evidence base doesn't include everybody, then the evidence is going to be biased. Holly Schmidt, vice president of the Accelerated Cure Project for Multiple Sclerosis, the nonprofit organization behind the MS Minority Research Engagement Partnership Network, said in a phone interview with MS News Today. The MMREPN is a group of diverse stakeholders, including nonprofits and pharmaceutical companies, who are working to increase minority and ethnic participation in MS research. Researchers have been looking into how this disease manifests in people of color for the past 12 years. Previous research has shown that MS among that group is far more severe than for whites. People of color go to nursing homes on average 6 years earlier than their white counterparts and have a greater number of lesions in their brain and spinal cord. Black people also tend to have a stronger antibody response, causing more severe cases of MS. Researchers haven't exactly figured out why, on a deeper genetic level, because of differentiating disease presentations among white, Black, Hispanic, and Native American populations, they argue MS should be studied by race. It is also why they should have a better participation in clinical trials. If you do not treat your toughest cases, what good does it do to them, and how do we guarantee that a medication can help them in these patient cohorts? A researcher toolkit created by MREPN notes a handful of reasons why minority turnout for clinical trials is low, including concerns about being taken advantage of, safety hesitations, lack of trust, legal and financial risk, cost, and travel demands, as well as cultural beliefs. According to survey results, the network published in January, Blacks were twice as likely to have concerns about being used by trial investigators, while Hispanics were concerned about their legal, employment, and health insurance status. Ebony Capers, a Black woman with MS who created the Woman of Color with Multiple Sclerosis Facebook page, says that some people don't think the system will help them. The biggest question for her is, what are you hoping to make happen by participating in these clinical trials? In other cases, Capers said some are comfortable with the treatment path they already are on, or think new therapies may make them worse. From a provider perspective, people see this phenomenon, but some of the responsibility falls on the doctors themselves. If they are dismissive of what a patient is saying, assuming the condition they think they have is impossible to treat, there is a problem. Researchers want an open mind and to stay up to date on the most current research, throwing out a dogmatic approach that relies on opinion over fact. Williams also added it's important for doctors to simply ask if their patients are interested in clinical trials. Carefully walking them through informed consent before they join a trial and assessing their own implicit biases. When we frame it like a lack of participation, we kind of put all the onus and responsibility on the patients, Williams said. But there are also institutional and provider barriers that keep people from being involved. Those institutional barriers, Williams said, can include not being able to take a day off from work for financial reasons, restricting people who have coexisting medical conditions from participating, and a lack of researchers who are part of the Black and Hispanic community. More than simply being able to treat patients with a better base knowledge of how MS manifests in minority populations, Schmidt says it's a justice issue, especially when it comes down to research questions and informing drug development decisions. For Capers, founding and being part of the Women of Color with Multiple Sclerosis group has helped her manage her own symptoms while educating her peers, whom she calls sisters, on how to navigate their life with MS. That includes open discussion of issues that include signing up for clinical trials and helping others advocate for themselves. It's a safe place where we can process or talk about what we're going through without fear or judgment. In the future, when data becomes more available on race and MS, treatment could in turn help those minority communities that are more severely affected by the disease. To help make a change, we are suggesting putting pressure on biotech companies to conduct more trials with minority participation, In a more drastic approach, the FDA could threaten to reduce public funds for research projects that don't have proportionate levels of minority participation. But building that knowledge base and continually learning about the disease is equally as important. CAPRS hosts virtual presentations by doctors on issues like COVID-19 and MS on her page, helping foster trust and a connection between the provider and minority community. She isn't the only patient advocate working to bridge the gap between the research and patient communities. Damian Washington, who is Black and living with MS, is using his platform as a video blogger on his YouTube channel, No Stress MS, to help spread awareness and inform the public on the disorder. He's also working to build a virtual MS community. You do not know who is in the audience, Washington, 39, a voiceover actor living in Los Angeles, told MS News Today in a Zoom interview. If people in the audience have some bit of them in you, it's important to be best as you can be, so there are other people reflected and they feel more comfortable doing more with themselves and their condition. In a sponsored video by Genentech, Washington explains the importance of minority representation in clinical trials and how to get involved. If clinical trials are going to be developing therapies for the populations, it should be inclusive of all populations and should certainly include the population that the data shows you have faster disease progression and more severe disease activity. In addition to her other work on improving minority representation in MS research, Williams, who is also part of the Minority Partnership Network, has been working for the last 3 years on the first national African American Multiple Sclerosis Registry. Sponsored by Providence St. Joseph Health and in collaboration with 3 other doctors across the United States, the registry launched in September 2020 and has enrolled 200 people so far. Williams' goal is for it to eventually hit 20,000 people enrolled. There's so much more to do, but with so many people working on it, I feel pretty good about the future, Schmidt said.
Coming up next, perspectives from MS News Today columnist Ed Tobias.
You always do what you can to keep your relapsing multiple sclerosis in check. But if your relapsing MS is starting to change, it can affect your mind and body in new and different ways. So it's important to choose a treatment that goes beyond relapses, one that can help you stay ahead of disability progression. Take charge of your relapsing multiple sclerosis. Learn more at changesinrms.com.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge. As a rare neuromuscular disorder patient myself, I enjoy reading the column by Ed Tobias, MS Wire. Do high antibody levels mean I'm protected against COVID-19? Is 2500 my magical COVID-19 number? At my annual MS checkup a week ago, my neurologist included a blood test for SARS-CoV-2 antibodies. Antibodies are proteins in the blood that protect the body from being attacked by viruses, bacteria, and the like. In this case, the blood test was searching for antibodies that would protect me against the SARS-CoV-2 virus, the virus that causes COVID-19. With 2 shots of the Moderna vaccine in my bloodstream since early March, I should have a bunch of antibodies, and I do. According to my test report from LabCorp, a result of 0.8 units per milliliter or higher indicates the presence of SARS-CoV-2 antibodies. My test result was greater than 2,500 units per milliliter. An article written by the manufacturer of one antibody test reports that this number indicates a very robust vaccination response. So, should I consider myself protected against SARS-CoV-2? Reading the fine print, probably, but not certainly. My test results caution that, quote, it is yet undetermined what level of antibody to SARS-CoV-2 spike protection correlates to immunity against developing symptomatic SARS-CoV-2 disease. And the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has issued a strong statement that, quote, antibody tests should not be used at this time to determine immunity or protection against COVID-19 at any time, and especially after a person has received a COVID-19 vaccination. Darn. Antibodies may not be the only protection. Does it really matter how high an antibody level I have? Immunologist Dan Baroque of Harvard Medical School says probably not and points to a study being done at the school. Baroque said, quote, "In this study, we defined the role of antibodies versus T cells in protection against COVID-19 in monkeys. We report that a relatively low antibody titer, the concentration of antibodies in the blood, is needed for protection." Another article, this one on the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia website, agrees with Baroque's assessment. It points to the fact that scientists have not yet identified a correlate of protection for the COVID-19 vaccines. This is a quantity of specific antibodies above which a person is protected against an infection and below which protection is uncertain. It also points to evidence that some types of T cells can affect a person's course of a SARS-CoV-2 infection. And it agrees that getting an antibody test to see if the vaccine worked is not as helpful as it would appear. I'm confident, but I'm still careful. So much for the 2500 score on my antibody test. I guess I'll just feel confident in the efficacy of my Moderna vaccine, which the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention reports is more than 94% effective. But I'll also keep washing, distancing, and masking where it's appropriate, just to be safe.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.